walking like blind men. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. Zephaniah 1, verse 17. The well-known author Maurice Maeterlinck once described the misery of the spiritual blind in a striking allegory. In his parable, The Blind Men, he describes the somber pathway of a somber group of people. It is a company of blind men that you see before you. Carefully they move ahead, seized by a colorless life. Laboriously they move along, but still they are moving on. For they have a guide, an old priest, who with the sensitivity of his hand confidently goes ahead of them, and with the refreshing joy of his voice leads them along their path. But on a certain day the piteous company of travelers again had made a journey, led by the priest, and had stopped to rest. They were all enveloped in a somber despondency, and nobody spoke a word. Even the guide was silent. The old priest seemed to have no more words of joy. It seemed that way, and the sad thing was that it was really true. Quietly and unnoticed, the old priest had died, and his dead body was lying on the ground. And what was even worse, his blind followers didn't realize it. Their eyes had, as always, been closed when the old man closed his in the twilight of death. Thus the blind were silent. But listen, in the distance they heard a rumbling. At first it was vague, but then it steadily grew louder. It was the sound of rolling waves that came roaring in. The tide was coming in, and the sea raised itself. And what about the poor blind men? They knew that danger was imminent, but trusted that their guide was there to lead them away from the rising sea. Listen, they called out for him, but he did not answer. They insisted with pleading voices, crying against the roaring of the waves. But a dead man, whom they thought to be alive, did not answer. And when the waves came near, they stood up in confusion. They felt around them and sought the warmth of the priest's hand. But in their panic, they tottered against each other. They were scattered as sheep without a shepherd. They went unsteadily and infirmly as the blind. And when the waves touched them, their straggling feet were lifted, and they were enveloped and drowned in the chilly, swelling sea. Do you now know what it means to walk as the blind? There is no parable which can better illustrate the terror of such a walk than this one of Maeterlinck. For behold, those blind men are the poor, and that sea is infinity, that priest as guide is faith. And now you will understand the intention of the parable. The man who has lost his faith is perishing in the grip of infinity. He walks as blind men. He loses the track of enlightened reasoning and becomes irrational. And the more the threatening danger torments him, the more anxiously he scrambles for a solution, which he will not find. Thus his irrational state becomes desperation, and at last you will see him perish in his inability to save himself. Undoubtedly, this parable of Maeterlinck has a deep meaning and is true in many aspects. But do not think that the reality of the world is displayed correctly in this parable. Do not imagine the tired man of today, which has lost his faith, to be like the blind of the parable just described to you. No, even though the world has lost its faith, it is not afraid as those poor blind men were when the waves came rolling in. For the world of civilization and culture sees the matter exactly the other way around, as this author, as you and I. The parable meant that man without faith is blind, and that faith itself sees. But do you know what the world thinks and says? It says that man without faith is enlightened and thus sees, while faith is blind. Modern man laughs about this parable. What faith says to the blind, they call seeing, and what faith believes to see, they consider blind. And yet, exactly for this reason, this parable of Maeterlinck cannot satisfy us. For the people of our time are not afraid as those groping, blind people. No, they are very certain and safe in their own imaginations. They are indeed blind, but do not walk as the blind. Straight ahead they go, unashamed, to the destiny of their depraved hearts. Walking as the blind. This concept is displayed by Maeterlinck, and it is displayed by Zephaniah. It seems that Maeterlinck's theme is the same as that of our text, but in reality it is not. In Maeterlinck we see this sequence. They walked as the blind, and for that reason they became afraid. But with Zephaniah we see the opposite. They were afraid, and because of that they walked as the blind. Do you see the contrast? With the author outside of Scripture, we see first the blindness and then fear. But the author in Scripture first describes fear and then the last state of blindness. Thus we see in this the affirmation of what we wrote above. Even when by nature man is as blind as a bat, he will not believe. Are we then also blind? The Pharisees asked Jesus. And the undertone of their question clearly displayed their unbelief. Man shouts triumphantly, "I see." And exactly because his faith is gone, he considers himself able to see. And because of this, he is not afraid, not even when danger threatens and the waters of eternity appear. Zephaniah knows this better than Maeterlinck. For Zephaniah speaks, "Thus says the Lord, I will cause the people to be afraid." They are not afraid yet, but God will make them so. Yes, that is the sad reality. God will first have to make them afraid. For they are so very much at ease, so relaxed, so certain in their blindness. And Maeterlinck did not understand that. I will cause them to be afraid. That means, I will make them desperate. God will cause them to be so desperate that they no longer see a way out. And only after that will they walk as the blind. Just as the blind walk without a sense of direction, without a plan, without a firm pace, without a leading principle, and without a solid reason, so God causes those who hate him to be afraid, so that they will walk as the blind. So that they in their irrational thinking will drive themselves into death. So that they will perish, tottering involuntarily against each other, while seeking a way out which they cannot find. Their understanding will fail them. They will find no way of escape. In the ocean of eternity, I will cast them to perish as blind men, says the Lord of hosts. Are you listening to this word? If you continue to boast in your natural light while you imagine to see, God will make you afraid. But then it will be too late. For you should not forget that this word is a prophecy of judgment. This causing to be afraid will lead to death. There is also a causing to be afraid that leads to life. God can also make people afraid that will cause them to walk as those who see. We can observe this in Paul. He did have a difficult and fearful time there in Damascus, but he soon left it as one who saw and not as the blind. And why? Because he had learned to see that he was blind. Because he had learned that anyone who lacks faith is blind. Because he understood that exactly when he was not afraid, he had to be afraid, and that when he became afraid, he no longer needed to be. Paul realized that before his being afraid, he was blind, and yet did not walk as a blind man. And for this reason, God did not leave it with that fear. He gave Paul his sight. But he who does not learn to see, like Paul, that he is blind by nature, will not become afraid by himself. And if he remains in that self-deceit, God will one day cause him to be afraid so that he will walk as the blind in despairing irrationality. And thus, no one will escape that distress caused by God. The Pauls of today know their blindness in this life and are frightened, but this fear leads them to life. The others, who are not afraid of their blindness, will soon be made afraid. Indeed, soon. Just read the prophecy of Zephaniah's first chapter, and you will immediately sense that this prophetic vision directed his attention from the oppression that applies to this time to that other great oppression which will come at the last day. On the day of the Lord, God will frighten those people who refused to believe that they were blind here on earth with great terror. Then they will walk as the blind in great confusion. Then it will happen on that day that scoffers, tired of their sneering, will stand before the judgment seat of God and cry out, "Mountains fall on us and cover our poor souls, which are defiled by shame and dishonor, and burden us by all the things we have done in our folly." Sometimes we see this judgment prefigured here on earth, but then as an exception. Already now there are people who, because they are afraid, walk in their perplexity and irrationality as the blind. Thus Judas seized the rope. His staggering toward death was a prelude to the great confusion in the Day of Days. Thus the superstitious world of our time, distressed by the reality of an invisible spiritual power, walks as blind men, just as bewildered, just as aimless, just as infirm, until it arrives at fortune tellers, spiritualists, and the powers of the occult. Therefore, do not be satisfied with only being afraid. To be emotionally moved is still no conversion. To be afraid can also lead to destruction. Some people are satisfied with that. As long as they are emotionally moved and afraid, things are fine. That already seems to them the perfection of grace. But that is really not the case. To be emotionally moved is still no conversion. To be afraid can also lead to destruction. For to walk as the blind, what else is that but an expedient to seek an escape and not to find it? If your being afraid is not born from the functioning of the Spirit who reveals your blindness to you, you are not following the example of Paul, but of Judas. Then you are like the frightened man on a sinking ship who did not descend into the lifeboat but sought, as the blind, a way out in the raging waves in which he perished. But when your being afraid is worked by God's Spirit, Scripture will continue to show you the way. Maeterlinck causes people to be frightened and lets them perish. Scripture threatens the same to unbelievers, but it shows believers a way that is more eminent. If they first learn to confess their blindness, here they will see. For this reason, pray that the Spirit will enlighten your eyes and cause the darkness of being blind to disappear. The world has, according to the word of poets, gone on the wrong track as blind men. But it doesn't know that. At this moment, people are not afraid as Maeterlinck dreamt. But someday they will be afraid, as Zephaniah prophesied. And then they will walk as the blind, that is, they will perish irrevocably. And that judgment is fully just, for God indeed made them afraid, but did not make them blind. For God cannot make anyone blind, since he is the Father of light. The only thing he can do is to leave them in their blindness. And what he also can and will do is cause them to see. Come, confess your blindness. Admit what, with some modification, the poet said, who had also walked as the blind and sought without finding, but who later confessed, "I wandered around so very long. I sought, but never did I find. Alas, I went so very wrong upon the track of the very blind. If on that track had not stood thy star, O God, I then in many cases would have in all my wandering far have perished in the deathly mazes. Indeed, as the poor blind man. But if you know this, you will also see. Then you will pray, Eternal light, appear as we await thee, while in the passing earthly night we wonder why it takes so long to see thy light, which only is the source of all the suns who continue in their course and do not know what day and darkness be. And then you will confess and rejoice, even when your earthly eye enters into the blindness of death. In vain will it be to cling to blind and dampened lights, in vain to see your own light sting the first imagined precious sights. When God enlightens you, my soul, you'll wander fearlessly by day, in light eternal and no longer dull, in darkness victorious is your stay. Do you hear it? Fearlessly, not afraid, in light eternal, as those who see.